Come on in, sit back and relax. You're listening to episode 236 of the Wealth Tech Today podcast. And I'm your host, Craig Iskowitz, founder of Ezra Group Consulting. And this podcast features interviews, news, and analysis all about the trends and best practices of wealth management technology. And my guest for this episode was Stephen Daffron, chairman and CEO of BetaNext. Now, Stephen was also one of the co-founders of the PE firm Motive Partners, which they founded in 2016. And they are very active in the wealth management space, including the lift out of the Fiserv APL division, which then became Tegra 118, which then was merged into InvestCloud, which is also an investment firm Motive. They also bought BetaNext last year from the London Stock Exchange. Before founding Motive, Stephen was the president of Dun & Bradstreet for 5 years. And before that, he was global head of operations and technology at Morgan Stanley. And Stephen is also a graduate of the West Point Military Academy. So what did we talk about? We covered a bunch of issues around what is BetaNext, Motive Partners' strategy for buying these different companies and linking them together, some integrations, some competition and cooperation, and of course, no podcast these days would be complete without an AI discussion. So we talked about all those things. Before we begin, let me just say a few things about RIA tech stacks. Now, at Ezra Group, we've seen tech stacks of hundreds of RIAs. Let me tell you, most of them are loaded down with tech debt. So you shouldn't feel too bad about yours. But let's face it, tech debt is like a giant anchor holding back your business growth. If you want to free your firm for exponential growth, you should run, not walk, to our website, ezragroup.com, and fill out the contact us form. Our experienced team can evaluate your current tech ecosystem, deliver targeted recommendations, optimize your existing systems and operations, or run an RFP and help you implement new software to take your firm to the next level. You can take advantage of our free consultation offer by going to ezragroup.com. A few quick housekeeping items that we always do before the interview. Please subscribe to the show wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss an episode. Check out investinothers.org. That's the Invest in Others Charitable Foundation. They do a lot of good work in our industry, raising money to donate to charities that are either run by or helped by financial advisors. All right, I'm excited to introduce my next guest. It is Stephen Daffron, Chairman and Chief Executive Officer of BetaNext. Stephen, thanks for being here.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And where are you calling in from?
I'm calling in from our offices at 55 Broadway in Lower Manhattan.
It's a great place. I'm in New Jersey. We're experiencing the same crappy March weather, rain, and it's chill. But we'll have to deal with it.
Can't wait for spring.
They tell me it's around the corner, but I'm not really trusting them on that. They haven't been delivering on any of their promises recently. So spring is coming, I'm sure. But before spring gets here, let's jump into our conversation about BetaNext. I'm really interested in hearing more about the company and our audiences as well. So can you please give us a 30-second elevator pitch to start us off about BetaNext?
Okay. BetaNext is a SaaS, software as a service, DaaS, data as a service, and OPAS, operations as a service, that provides connected data and operational solutions to the industry, and the industry being the wealth management industry, both the retail end and the institutional end, that helps those enterprises support their advisors and support their investors across the entire United States.
Perfect.
There are about 50 million Americans every day that when they want to wake up in the morning and log on and see how their portfolio is doing, they're actually using BetaNext software, BetaNext data, BetaNext operational support. That's what we do.
It's all in the background.
Yep. We make all our clients, our enterprise clients, Wells Fargo, Stifel, LPL, we make them look good by making sure that all the data that should be connected stays connected, that all the operational processes and technology that needs to work does work from front to back and side to side.
So when we were prepping for this call, we were talking a bit about Motive Partners, which is now the owner of BetaNext with a number of other companies. And I thought it was interesting, the strategy, which we all wanted to get into. Could you talk a little bit about the strategy behind Motive acquiring BetaNext and some of their other companies?
Sure. Motive Partners was started by three partners, all of us who had run companies in this space for years, for both in public companies. For example, I was the head of technology and ops and data for John Mack at Morgan Stanley for many years. Others, we'd also run companies for private equity firms like Warburg Pincus and General Atlantic. But the three of us, this was in January 2016, so we're just passing our eighth anniversary. We got together and said, well, we've sold our last companies. What are we going to do next? And we could run other companies for other private equity firms, but we decided to create our own private equity firm. Mm-hmm. So the three of us put our money, and then sooner or later, we had other investors who want to invest with us, with the idea being we'd invest in things that we saw, that we knew about, that we felt we had an edge in. So we studied the marketplace and looked at the places in the marketplace, the financial technology marketplace, where things didn't work as well as we thought they could. One of them was, in fact, the wealth management space. And we looked at it from top to bottom, and we found the places where if you were doing a heat map, where the friction was causing heat because the investor wasn't talking easy to the advisor wasn't being able to get past the trade blotter to the clearing and settlement wasn't clicking with the books and records. We found the places where that wasn't working as well that we felt we knew something about. And we've invested. And one of those places, pretty early on, we decided was, in fact, the BetaNext space, which has all the pieces that go all the way from order management. So you need to know what the client is doing, the onboarding of clients, the onboarding of their advisors, to the clearance, the settlement, the processing, the client communications, we bought a company called Maxit, which allows us to do cost basis. And of course, with cost basis, you want to do tax reporting. So those all get tied together into a big, responsive, connected data set that allows those enterprises to solve their advisors and their clients' problems. And then that's BetaNext is one big piece of that puzzle, but we also connect to other parts of the ecosystem. The idea is to make the parts of the companies we invest in work well together for the end client, because that's what we're supposed to do, is make their lives better.
And the other companies you own include Wilshire, Fanatix, Case, mm-hmm. Of course, BetaNext, and InvestCloud, and the APL division of Fiserv that was merged with InvestCloud. So what is it about these companies? So what kind of benefit do you see having all these companies under the same umbrella?
Getting them to be part of the Japanese term is koretsu. And you're actually doing this so that you're getting these companies to work together effectively, not necessarily owned by each other, because we don't own 100% of all those companies. We're not forcing them to work together. We're actually creating structures that optimize the relationships between those companies to serve the client. You know, that client, that's also changing, because that client now doesn't look like the client looked 10 years ago, and that's going to change even more dramatically. As the massive amount of wealth moves from my generation to my children's generation to my grandchildren's generation, you're seeing the investor herself change. First, it's going from being more male to more female. It's getting from older to younger. It's getting more geographically and ethnically diverse. That investor has different expectations. So this koretsu is meant to solve the expectations, the challenges that investor is asking for. I'll give you an easy example. You know, one of the most basic things that we're supposed to do for a client is explain what happens when a security does something, like a stock splits. An issuer decides they're going to do a stock split. Now, think of what that means to the client, to the issuer, to the investor. Well, that means that issuer's choice to split that stock has to go up the chain, be pumped up to the advisor. The advisor has to explain to the investor, says, here are your choices. Then she has to make a choice. Yes, I'm going to take the spot splitter, or no, I'm going to take the cash. And then that has to flow all the way back through, down past the trade blotter, through clearance, through settlement, back to books and records. And then it has to be reflected in her portfolio. You know how many times and how hard that is? Many of the firms, they're trying to reconcile the data from that investor to the books and records dozens of times. And every time they try to reconcile the data, they're slowing it up. So she isn't getting the response she should be that she wants to get, which is, I made the choice. I want to see how it affects my portfolio. I want to see what it does to my cost basis. So therefore, I want to see what it does to my taxes. And I want all that data to be connected. So we, and this is back to Beta Next, we're kind of the core engine of this, we power that connected wealth. By making sure all those data services, those interfaces connect, we give her what she's looking for, which is near real-time data, a broad scope of products, and accuracy and security. That's why we tie these companies together. And we don't do it. This is not thou shalt. This is what we think is the optimal answer. And we're agnostic. We don't just connect with companies that Motive Partners owns. If InvestNet, which is another company that services some of these same clients, needs to connect to those clients, we'll work to connect to them. Mm-hmm. We'll make the APIs work so that that client, we go back to serving that end client, that mm-hmm. advisor, which is where the rubber really meets the road. You know, we're going to serve 70,000, give or take, advisors around the U.S., 50 million investors, 70,000 plus advisors. If we do this effectively, we're helping those people do the right thing for the right reasons, to send their kids to school, to pay their mortgage, to manage their portfolios. Sorry, I get long-winded on these things. I apologize.
That's the beauty of a podcast, Stephen. You can do that. Right? That's the whole point. We don't want sound bites. We want to kind of dive in a bit. So one of the interesting aspects of Keiretsu and linking companies is making, you know, the sum greater than the individuals without actually mm-hmm. you know having to merge mm-hmm. with one company. So right. speaking on looking at the wealth management parts of Motive's holdings, for example, mm-hmm. with the APL platform, mm-hmm. which I saw they're rebranding, they're going back to the APL brand, which I think is a smart move. Mm-hmm. Do you see any either integrations or areas where you can be complementary to each other?
Yeah. In fact, one of the most straightforward ones, like the one I just talked about, if you have products that have SLEED data in their portfolio construction, that have data that they're using to model their portfolios with, and that data needs to be shared as a part of the clearance and settlement process, then having that be built in a way that has the same joins, the same connective tissue, if you will, as we're using for the clearance and settlement that's required by DTCC, that's required by the SEC. If we do that coherently between APL and Beta Next, you A, dramatically reduce the time it takes to do that processing. B, reduce the cost of the enterprise. Remember, the enterprise, Charlie Sharpe at Wells Fargo will tell you up front that his one of his most important partners is Beta Next. Why? Because we do everything with his data. We control and administer, we curate, there's the right verb, we curate the data for Wells Fargo, for LPL, for Stifel. We do that in a way that allows us to connect what's going on in APL with what's going on in the clearance and settlement with what's going on in the books and records. That again goes back to it's the advantage of that enterprise, but it's also the advantage of that advisor. Because that advisor plays swivel chair roulette. You know, if you're an advisor, I've seen a McKinsey study that said advisors were spending up to 70% of their time doing things other than talking to their clients, than giving advice. And that's what they were doing is they were swiveling their chair to move from one part of their data set to another part to be able to give the client the advice they need. This idea is to move this to a move the data structures to a point where we can look at it in one way and see a coherent whole, so that that investor gets to make the right choices in the right time frame, and it costs the enterprise less.
Well, that's the name of the game: is grow your business and keep your costs keep your costs flat while you scale your business, and. With Wells Fargo is a great example. Wells Fargo is a big Beta Next client, right? They drive mm-hmm. all their custody mm-hmm. on the scenes, the intel inside of their custody business. And APL drives their wealth management platform across the business. I know they re-signed a big contract with them. So what are the specific, do you see any specific ways that both of these firms together, linking them in some way, can provide more value than the value that provides us separately if they're both owned by separate companies.
Let's add one more company to make the case to show how it works across the board, and that company is Case. Mm-hmm. Case is a reservoir of alternative investment data. So all the asset managers who have alternative investments, Case brings them together, curates that asset, those alternative investments data in a way that can be plumbed through BetaNext. Because again, the security master at BetaNext can take the data from Case, plumb it through BetaNext all the way up to the advisor. Because we already have those connections all the way up to the advisor. Now the advisor then gets to offer that alternative product, which he didn't have before, from Case via BetaNext to that investor. And that investor then gets to say, okay, I want to put this in my portfolio. The portfolio modeling then gets to be done by APL using that same data set, that same data configuration, so that the investor and the advisor can see it, and it flows back down through beta to the books and records. Mm-hmm. See, that it sounds so logical that of course everybody should do this, except in the entire time, and I've been doing this for 30 plus years, no one's been able to accomplish that. Mm-hmm. That isn't a smooth, easily working, reliable process. Instead, mm-hmm. what we have had, and in many cases for many platforms still have, it's a series of hash marks. Well, we'll stop it here and we'll throw this data away here. We'll try to reconcile it down below. And oh, by the way, meanwhile, the investor isn't getting what she asked for. Hmm.
It's not easy. You know, we spend a lot of time here at Ezra Group helping broker dealers with these kind of problems. And we always appreciate when there's companies in the background, like a BetaNext or InvestCloud APL, that can provide that kind of data and that kind of consistency and that kind of scale, which is not common. People don't realize the scale of a Wells Fargo or the wirehouses. And there are only a handful, even less, of technology providers that can support millions of accounts on their platform.
But there are people, again, Charlie Sharp from Wells Fargo, but also I just had a conversation with Tony Miller at Janney in Philadelphia a couple of weeks ago. And he was saying, he recognizes that the way things have always been does not get us where they need to be. Mm-hmm. We, the technology, the fintech companies, have to recognize that we have to work together. That if he, as the client, is saying to us, you don't get to do it your own way. You have to work together. And we're going to T+1. And T+1 is a crucible that forces a lot of the companies who haven't been in this mode before to get into it. Why? Because they can't do it by themselves. If you're not prepared to work with everyone else in the ecosystem, and you think you can actually be a part of solving a major broker-dealer T+1 issue, and you're not a part of the ecosystem, you're fooling yourself. And frankly, you're endangering our industry. We have to either, what's that famous Ben Franklin quote, we must all hang together or we shall certainly hang separately. Mm-hmm. We have to do that. We have to work together. And one of the things that BetaNext does, we did this at the last year's SIFMA Ops conference, and we're going to do it again this year, is recognize the fact that while we are in fact a private equity held company that has to make money, we are in fact trying to make money. Of course we are, for our investors. Mm-hmm. We're also a part of the larger industry. And we all succeed better when we succeed together. Mm-hmm. DTCC, Frank, the CEO at the DTCC, will tell you that that's the reason for DTCC exists. I was there when we created DTCC. And the modern characterization of what you could do for equities and in fixed income and government securities, that came from the idea that companies could not do this by themselves. Yeah, I was Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, JP Morgan. As powerful as those institutions are, they are not powerful enough to actually make this industry operate just themselves. They have to cooperate.
We refer to that as co-opetition.
Yeah.
everybody's a partner and everyone's a competitor in some ways. And you mentioned a couple of firms. You mentioned InvestNet that you work with and APL, which is now part of InvestCloud owned by Motive. And those two companies compete, are very fierce competitors for broker-dealer platform wealth business, but they also have to cooperate because they share some clients.
Exactly.
And technology, which is behind the scenes, people don't realize. There's still some things going on back in the back end. So everyone needs to work together because, you know, again, as you mentioned, we often share clients, especially the larger ones. When you're at a Wells Fargo sized company, they have, you know, hundreds of vendors.
And the idea here should be that we're doing this because there is a net good in it. You actually go through the effort of making these things work. It'd be easier just to be working your own little silo, do your own little thing, but you're not actually serving the client when you do that. If the client has to force us to work together, we're forcing the client into a role they shouldn't be having to play.
That is true. All boats rise when the clients are successful. Right? We're all going to make money when the clients are successful. There are successful fintech startups such as Altruist that were reselling custody and then built their own custody platforms. Even though the Betanex platform was out there, they could have adopted that and run with it. Do you see that as a trend that's a long-term headwind for Betanex, or is this just a one-off and not something that's really affecting you guys?
No, I know Altruist. They're still a client. You think of what Altruist has done, and what almost any self-clearing firm is doing is they're looking at the demand curve, and they're seeing the pieces that they're better off building themselves versus they're better off buying, leasing from someone else. Altruist still uses Betanex for our client communications piece. They're still using a lot of the cost basis work that we provide for them. They just happen to have a fairly narrowly defined, well-defined for a specific set of clients that were not being particularly well-served by the rest of the industry, that Altruist designed their custody platform to do. Now, candidly, a lot of their clients, as they grow and become more complex, won't stay Altruist clients. They'll go on to a bigger or better platform, or Altruist will have to grow its platform to more scale to be able to handle that. But it goes back to the same point. Understanding the demands of the clients you're trying to serve, and then bringing together, I'll give you another example. Betanex didn't do mutual fund subaccounting. It's a very straightforward kind of process, but it had never been built into the Betanex repertoire. Now, when we bought Betanex, we said to do this, we listened to the clients. The clients, particular case, Wells Fargo, says, you know what? We're having to deal with mutual fund subaccounting separately, and you're using all the data that exists inside Betanex. Why don't you do it for us? We could have built that inside, but instead of building it inside Betanex, we simply went out and found the best available third-party provider, in this case, a company called Envision in California, and built a partnership with them so that we could actually connect what they were doing, which was best in class, to what Betanex was doing in terms of data structure, data architecture, and servicing Wells Fargo in a way that was completely transparent to them. As far as Wells Fargo was concerned, it was all Betanex because we did all the work to make sure that the data structures that Envision was using matched the data structures that Wells Fargo was having Betanex use. We figure out what serves the client best. If Altruist wants to come to us and says, oh, we've changed our mind, we want you to do our fixed income processing because it's not part of our platform, we'd make that work. No, Altruist is not, it's not a headwind. It's the smart guys who are listening to their clients and building what they can build in-house and working to outsource with the things they don't want to build in-house. Makes perfect sense. And it's the way the rest of the market is going to go as well. I can see the whole trust platform happening as well, the same way, because there are a lot of clients in the marketplace who are saying, we don't like the fact that all of our trust, our P&I accounting is being done over there, and all of our normal processing works over here, and we can't show them together to the client. I anticipate that's going to happen as well.
Well, now you open a big can of worms that we get involved in a lot when it comes to trust accounting and agency accounting. And more and more companies have all of those, right? They've got a corporate RIA, they've got a trust business, they've got a bank, and they've got to figure that out. And it's all, you know, up until now, it's always been the case where you put your, you try to keep as many accounts as you can off the trust platform because it was more expensive. And we came into many companies where they had everything on the trust platform because it was simpler, but they were wasting a lot of money, millions of dollars, because of the per account fees were eating them up. And we had to move those accounts over to the agency platform, then built customs integration between them that they could then see that. So building out some capability where BetaNext, do you see that with your Keiretsu linking these companies that they could provide a one-stop shop, a single pane of glass across trust and agency accounting?
That's one of the things we're working on now. One of the, some of the research we're doing now is we're looking at, A, the data structures that underlie P&I accounting, what you have to do there, the data structures and the OCC regulatory structures require those things to be done differently. Can we make those, can we translate those into ways that will make these data structures work together? We're working the order is the answer. You know, there have been companies who have tried this before, SCI most famously. I think we can do this. I think it just takes some new thinking in terms of how to frame what the client wants to see. And here's what the client doesn't want to see. The client doesn't want to see, well, I can't explain that to you because it's not in my bailiwick. The client wants to see that we actually understand his or her portfolio across all of its component pieces. That's what they're expecting us to do.
They have high expectations that aren't always met, which is one of the reasons why they need consultants to, because there is so much going on and there isn't enough cooperation. Mm-hmm. And everybody wants to be, they want their application to be the single pane of glass or their platform to be the single pane of glass. And it, when you then that's when you start getting into the fighting between these back-end platforms that don't want to share data, that don't want to provide the best capabilities for their clients. So that's where we often come in. But if you can build something like that, I could see people beating a path to your door.
Well, we are, we're a little bit academic. I mean, in the sense that we sometimes step away from the coal face long enough to look at the bigger picture and figure out what, from a data science perspective, needs to happen here. At Motive Partners, we actually have something called Motive Create, which is a set of people who have been the best mathematicians, the best computer scientists, the best data scientists we have. And we actually pull them offline from our portfolio companies sometimes, and sometimes we recruit them directly from academia or from other firms. From Google has been our greatest stomping grounds. We bring them together and we pose this kind of problem to them. We say, you know, we're not asking you to make a profit. Now we're asking you to go figure out this problem and give them a chance to go away and think about it and come back with a solution that has broad ramifications. And those solutions then can become the foundation for how we do trust accounting, for example, how we can rationalize the reporting that we're doing for agency accounting and the reporting we're doing for trust accounting in a way that makes sense for the client. Mm-hmm. And of course, the new tool in that space is AI, and we're working that order pretty hard. I mean, this is I'm a skeptic sometimes in terms of the when I first go into this, I'm a skeptical. Mm-hmm. What I have gleaned so far from this, though, is AI can be a magnificent set of tools to help us solve this problem. The disparate sets of data that the client needs access to that we need to bring together to be able to do something as straightforward as do a corporate action without reconciliation or to do trust accounting in a way that the client can explain the overall effect in the portfolio. The only way I trust AI to do that is we can have a controlled, highly curated set of data that we control to train the large language models on. Your AI is only as good as the data you're training those models on. If you don't control that data, you don't structure it in a way that you're sure about, you'll wind up with hallucinogenic egg on your face in a big way.
Sure. So corporate actions and trust data, you see uses for AI. Do you see any other areas that you interact with that AI could be valuable?
Sure. A huge one is client reporting. Again, back to that idea of eliminating the swivel chair. In many cases, what's happening here is it's not that the data doesn't exist, or not even that the data is not compatible. It's that we don't bring the data together at the right places in the workflow. And AI can help you find those places to bring the data together at the right time. Something straightforward is when a client service person picks up the phone and talks to an enterprise about what's happening in the clearance and settlement process. To know how that works and to have that client service person be prompted to say, well, the data that you need to see is actually in this space at this time frame, and we'll bring it together to you here. That kind of, for want of a better word, streamlining is something AI does beautifully well that we have a hard time as human beings doing it ourselves because we're not in all those places at the same time. AI can help us do that. Going back to the same point, in a highly controlled, curated data set. Would I want to do that if that large language model would be exposed to the web and all the vagaries of the web? No, I wouldn't. I would only do that if I had a certainty. And that's the number one thing we have to do as we employ AI is make sure we stay in control of where that data is coming from, how it's being curated, and who has access to it, so that you don't wind up creating more problems than you solve.
Amen. On that note, Stephen, we are running out of time. Where can our audience find out more information about Beta Next?
Beta, BETANXT.com on the web is the way to go.
All right, Stephen, thanks so much. Really appreciate it. I know you're super busy. Thanks for being here.
Goodbye. Good talking to you, Craig. Look forward to doing it again.
All right, I'm Craig again. Let me give you my quick overview rundown of this episode. So, of course, we learned all about BetaNext and some of the features and functionality of it and the history of it. We talked a little bit about Motive Partner strategy called Koretsu, which is a Japanese word for linking companies together to work optimally for the benefit of clients. We talked about integrations and how the different Motive companies might work together, sharing data and architecture between BetaNext, APL, Case, and others. We talked about competition and cooperation. I mentioned Altruist and how they built their own custodial technology. And Stephen pointed out that they're still working with BetaNext about on some aspects of their custody. Stephen pointed out that T+1, it will be a big issue for the industry and BetaNext will be able to help. And around AI can help very many areas in the industry, including reporting, corporate action, streamlining workflows. And that's about it. Yeah, you've made it to the end of another episode of the Wealth Tech Today podcast. Thanks for listening. Please go to our website, ezragroup.com. Scroll to the bottom of the homepage and sign up for our newsletter. Once a month, you'll receive an email chock full of wealth management goodness, news, information, updates. You won't be disappointed. Thanks again for listening and talk to you all again next time.